It's a diplomatic blunder, right? Well, not quite. As soon as Saddam entered Kuwait, the US government launched a very interesting propaganda campaign to build up public support for a war. They claimed that Iraqi troops were slaughtering little babies by throwing them out of their incubators and hospitals. And they brought in teary-eyed witnesses who testified to having seen the massacre.
While I was there, I saw the Iraqi soldiers coming to the hospital with guns. They took the babies out of the incubators.
I myself buried 14 newborn babies that had been taken from their incubators.
Kids in incubators, and they were thrown out of the incubators so that Kuwait could be systematically dismantled.
Just one little problem. The entire event was fabricated. Never happened. This woman who presented herself as a witness was actually the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador to the United States. And her testimony was part of a public relations campaign organized by a company called Hill & Knowlton. Once public support for the war was strong, the incubator story was dropped, never mentioned again. The U.S. invaded Iraq in 1991. During that war, the U.S. military utilized approximately 640,000 pounds of depleted uranium ammunition. Iraq was decimated, but the U.S. left Saddam in power. The war didn't ever really end, though. The U.S. kept Iraq under a draconian sanctions regime that resulted in the deaths of hundreds of thousands of children. Clinton kept those sanctions in place for the entire duration of his presidency, and they knew what was happening.
We have heard that 500,000 children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And you know, is the price worth it? I think this is a very hard choice, but we think the price is worth it.
You know how they say that those who don't know history are destined to repeat it? That's really not an exaggeration. Fast forward to 2003, and the Kuwait incubator story was swapped out for stories of mobile missile silos and yellow cake uranium. And when it turned out that those weapons of mass destruction didn't exist, they acted like it was no big deal. Then, of course, came Obama, riding in on promises of hope and change. But we saw how Obama toppled Libya in 2011, leaving that nation in utter chaos. We've seen how he's armed and funded the Syrian rebels in an attempt to bring down Assad. Obama is operating from the same playbook. And yes, there is a playbook.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, No. He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq. Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda?" He said, No. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." And he said, "I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense office, today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years. Starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran."
Fortunately, the future is not set in stone. We can influence the outcome, and we already are. We proved that in 2013 when the left and the right dropped their petty bickering and unified against Obama's proposal to use airstrikes against Assad. The pattern of deceit is the same, but this time the people didn't fall for it. The fact that we had the UN investigator Carla Del Ponte come out and say that the Syrian rebels were behind the sarin gas attacks helped. The fact that Putin short-circuited the US diplomatically helped. But the determining factor was the popular resistance, particularly the signs of discontent from within the military. See, the ruling class is very hesitant to take a nation to war. The people and the military strongly oppose it. That's why the first casualty of war is always the truth. What's going on right now in Iraq is horrific. the ISS is already committing atrocities against civilians on a massive scale. Inexplicably, the Obama administration did not provide Iraq with immediate air support, even after the fall of Mosul. I say inexplicably not because I support airstrikes, but because on June 12th, the US military conducted its second drone strike this month in Pakistan. Why would Obama refuse to act in Iraq when civilians are being massacred, while employing drones in Pakistan without hesitation? I'll tell you why. Because the outrage over the atrocities that the ISS is committing may be enough to provide the US government with a backdoor into Syria. You see, it turns out that Obama is considering airstrikes, but not just in Iraq. He wants to extend those strikes into Syria as well. Well, that's convenient, isn't it? Once the US military is able to freely conduct operations in Syrian territory, getting the regime change that they want will be much, much easier. It's the classic formula: problem, reaction, solution. They created the problem, they're letting the public react and build up outrage, and then they're going to propose a solution which will sow the seeds for another generation of conflicts. To short-circuit this pattern, the public needs to come to terms with the cold, hard truth.
No matter what the US does at this point, and no matter how long they stay, there is no happy ending to this story. The chaos that we're seeing in this region is the direct result of half a century of US military interventions and covert operations in the Middle East. It's time to acknowledge that bombing for peace doesn't work. Regime change for stability doesn't work. And you can't fix a mistake by repeating it over and over and over. If the US honestly wants to stop the spread of Islamic terrorism, then they should stop funding and arming jihadists in Syria. That would be a good starting point, don't you think?